Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju and I'm your host. Today is the last episode with Thomas Wong. Thomas, how are you?
Good. Hope you guys are enjoying your drive right now.
Yes, I am. So it's been a very exciting journey to listen to your personal story and ministry, especially at your church right now. And in this final episode, I want to hear more about your role at the Second Generation Asian American Fellowship and also your future vision for second generation or third generation Asian Americans. So yeah, my first question is, what's your role in the Second Generation Asian American Fellowship?
Sure. So a couple of years ago, I received a phone call from Dr. Paul Kim, as well as Pastor Ted Lam. And there was the creation of this National Association of Asian American Pastors in the SBC. And their desire for me to step into the role as the president sounds more important than it actually is. So I always tease people, I'm very presidential, but if you get to know me, I am anything but presidential. And they're like, would you serve as, you know, the first president of the Second Generation Asian American Fellowship as a part of this association? And I said, well, what's the goal? What's the desire? And as it was explained to me during that time was, you know, to really create a coalition of second gen and third generation leaders that had a heart or a vision for leading or church planting outside of the ethnic immigrant church. And I said, okay, well, you know, that's where I am now. That's where I've come from. This is what I'm doing now. And if I can be a resource to that, if I can help move that agenda along, then I'm willing to help do that. I probably really haven't done much in the last couple of years because the vision is too broad. And I haven't really been very effective in kind of narrowing down what are the things that we can do. But over the last few months, I've been able to find a few partners, particularly out here on the East Coast between DC and Boston, a few friends that are a part of the SBC family, that are second gen leaders. And we've begun conversing about what does it look like? What kind of a leadership pipeline or resource can we offer to emerging younger leaders who are interested in going down the road that we've gone down and in church planting or pastoring in very similar contexts like what we are in? Mm-hmm. And how can we help them? Because we kind of just had to sink or swim when we went down this road. And we know a lot of folks that didn't make it. And it was almost like every man for himself. And we didn't want to leave second gen leaders to try to figure it out by themselves. And if there was some way that we could resource and bless them, that's really what we wanted to be able to do. And so that's kind of been the mission, the agenda of this particular group of second gen leaders that I've been working with. And so whether that comes through suggested books that we read together, but I think more importantly, having real live personal coaches and mentors that can walk alongside of young leaders and helping them to navigate the process and the journey of pastoring and leading and planting outside of the immigrant church. Is there someone that can walk alongside of them? That's what we wanted to try to provide, create a network of pastors and planters and leaders that are maybe 10 to 20 years ahead that really can come alongside of a younger leader and help guide them and offer that kind of resource. So that's what we're hoping to do through this fellowship in the SBC.
Yeah. In my own research for first generation, second generation Asian churches, I saw that there's a great potential for, especially for second generations, for church planting. but there's a huge issue or problem of the lack of resources and lack of leadership. So what you just said about providing those resources for second generations, I think that will be a really great blessing and huge help for the second generations. But my question is, why do you think that there is not so much of a success rate for second generations to jump in for church planting or even leading the church?
Yeah, it's a great question. And this is something that has been on my mind for quite some time now. And I was hoping to be able to share this with a larger group of people at the Dallas convention back in June. As I see it, the challenge is that anybody that wants to go into church planting or pastoral leadership outside the immigrant church, if you are an ethnic minority, let's just say if you're Asian American in any sense, I don't know if Latinos have the same challenge, and I don't know if African Americans have the same challenge, but at least with the Asian Americans, there are two obstacles that they have to overcome. And the first obstacle is, can they get the support of their immigrant church? And I understand the challenge is that the immigrant church always feels the weight of their survival is on the shoulders of the next generation. So they came to this country and they can start, first generation leaders can start a church for first generations. But if you look at the history of all the churches in our cities, whether they were Italian or Irish or Polish, you know, all of these churches that were started by previous immigrant communities, they're no longer occupied by, you know, Latvians and Ukrainians and Eastern Europeans. Now they're filled by Latinos, or they're filled by Asians, or they're filled by West Africans, the next wave of immigrants. And so all of these churches that began 50, 70 years ago are no longer filled by Italians, Irish, Polish. Instead, they're filled by Asians and Latinos and Africans. And so I understand that there is always this concern about the potential loss of, you know, your spiritual identity, the extinction of the immigrant church. And if you don't have the subsequent generation rising up to take the baton, then you're always just one generation away from extinction. And so I think the immigrant church always lives with a fear of that. And because of that fear, there's always this desire to try to keep the next generation in the existing church. But that's kind of the same kind of mentality of parents who try to keep their growing children at home. The more you try to keep them, the more you lose them. And if we understand that from just a basic human biological family relation kind of paradigm, if you look at any parent that tries to hold on to what they have, the tighter that you squeeze, it's like sand. You know, put your hand in a bottle or in a bucket of sand and pick up a handful of sand, and guess what, the tighter that you squeeze, the more it runs through your finger. I think that's true with our kids, and I think that's very, very true for the next generation of leaders. And so the thing that the immigrant church fears most leads them to a strategy that is going to fulfill that fear. What they fear most is actually going to happen because of their response to that fear. So the more that they fear becoming irrelevant or becoming extinct is what leads them to grasp harder and to try to hold on more to their next generation, and the more they do that, the more they lose them. And what's the solution? I think the solution isn't to try to keep them at home. It isn't to try to prevent them from leaving. I think the solution is to inspire them with a vision for how the first and second generation can partner together in the building of the kingdom of God that will be relevant for their generation and for their culture that they are growing up in. And so how can we, as first generation, resource the second generation so that they are effective in reaching the culture that they are growing up in? As immigrants that come to this country, you know, we struggle to survive, and we want the next generation to stand on the shoulders that we didn't have when we came to this country, right? We want our children to stand on our shoulder so that they might have a leg up. They don't have to struggle with, you know, the sacrifices that we had to make in order to survive. And so we want our kids to have advantages that we didn't have as first generation. Well, if we can translate that into a kingdom perspective, if the goal of the first generation immigrant church is to give our second generation a leg up so that they can not only survive, but so that they can thrive as leaders in the cultural context that they're growing up in this country as Americans. If I can help them to thrive as Christian leaders with a vision for the kingdom, that's a win, is it not?
Yeah.
That's a win for the church. That's even a win for the ethnic church. It's a win for the kingdom. And so if the next generation of leaders that are growing up in our immigrant church takes the immigrant church in a direction that looks more like the kingdom and less like our homeland, that's a win for the kingdom, and that's a win for the church, capital C. But if we're so afraid of losing our culture that we are unwilling to resource our next generation of leaders to lead in the way that God has gifted them, and please understand that as second and third generation Asian Americans growing up in this country, we are able to navigate the different kinds of cultural terrain that our first generation leaders weren't able to navigate. We can be comfortable with African Americans. We can be comfortable with Latinos. We can be comfortable with European immigrants. We can be comfortable with Indian Americans. We can become comfortable with all kinds of people that maybe our first generation leaders had both cultural obstacles as well as linguistic and language obstacles. Well, for our second generation, who may be more like third culture people, if they can navigate all of these different cultural landscape, well, they can take the gospel to people and to places that maybe the first generation never could. And the first generation has to be able to see that that is a win for the kingdom of God. And they have to have a kingdom perspective and not just a survival mentality. And so if we can look beyond survival to thriving, then we can resource the second generation to do that. But because first generation leaders oftentimes are only focused on survival, they circle the wagons. They circle the wagons and they try to just protect what they've built and try to maintain what they've built. And that is the surest way to lose your effectiveness and your relevance to reaching the next generation. So that's the first obstacle that second gen leaders face. The second obstacle, that's the first obstacle that they face. The second obstacle that they face is that as ethnic minorities in dominant culture, you know, we need those who are gatekeepers in a dominant culture to both open doors and to partner with us. And so one of the greatest things, the best things that I think white Americans can do is to provide both financial resources, leadership training, coaching and mentoring, and just come alongside and realize that if as white Americans there is an obstacle that makes it difficult for them to both relate to and to communicate to those that are minorities. And I think the white community is realizing this more and more. They don't know what it's like to be a minority in America. But boy, minorities sure do. And so if what white Americans can do is say, you guys can potentially be much more effective in reaching across cultural lines than we can, because you can identify with the plight and the struggle as an ethnic minorities for other minorities. What can we do? You know, what are the shoulders that we can give to you to give you an advantage and a leg up?
Yeah.
And I think if second gen leaders can find both that kind of support from their first generation churches, and they can find that kind of a support from those that represent the dominant cultural majority in America, I think it would be a tremendous catalyst for some amazing multi-ethnic ministry and church work that can happen in this country that I think we're starting to see the signs of, but I think we can catalyze it even more rapidly if these two things were to come together.
Can you share some resources that you experienced from, you know, dominant culture like a, you know, North American Mission Board, church planting?
Sure. So like one of the, so from my own personal experience, one of the best things that happened was when my church plant that was predominantly second gen Pan-Asian Americans, and we were fast on a fast track towards becoming increasingly an effective second gen Pan-Asian congregation. And if that was what I wanted to do, I could have grown that kind of a congregation pretty quickly. We were growing both in terms of size and in terms of budget. And if I was simply content with that, we would have just simply been a second gen Asian American church. But, you know, thankfully, the Lord brought a fellow pastor into my life who was Caucasian. And as we talked about what does it look like to really reflect the kingdom of God, his heart was to have the same kind of church that I wanted the church to look like. And so we were able to join and merge our two congregations together and instantly make it multi-ethnic overnight. And I think those are the kinds of opportunities that the dominant, that those that represent the dominant majority culture offer. They can come alongside, they can partner. And I'm not suggesting that every church merge with another church, but, you know, white churches can bring on non-white staff. They can put non-white leaders on their elder board and their deacon boards and then on their ministry teams and make the face of their church look increasingly diverse. They can put church planting dollars and provide church planting coaching and mentoring to non-whites, both within you know, state conventions and then also within local associations of the SBC. But just come alongside of non-whites and say, what can we do to help you guys? You know, how, what can we do to help you as an individual leader that may be called to lead the church outside of the immigrant setting? How can we support you? And so, you know, my story is very unique in that sense that we had the privilege and the benefit of being able to merge two congregations and really rapidly catalyze this kind of a multi-ethnic group. And what we have seen is that because the diversity of the leadership of the pastoral staff and the elder board, when people come to our church, you know, we don't have people that, you know, say, hey, I'm, you know, I'm white, so I'm going to go to the white pastor, and I'm Asian, I'm going to go to the Asian pastor. We make sure that we operate in such a way that if you need a leader, you're going to get whoever the leader is, regardless of their race and ethnicity. And that sets a tone for the kind of, you know, inclusivity and kingdom mentality that we're going to have. We're going to look and operate beyond culture. I don't know if I answered your question well, but I think within each local association that are in these state conventions, you're going to find leaders who are going to understand that. They're going to be sympathetic to the challenges and the needs that second gen leaders have. And they're going to be able to resource you guys in not only in terms of mentoring and coaching, but mm-hmm. also just denominational dollars to plant churches that look different than, you mm-hmm. know, what traditional church plants have looked like. Mm-hmm. And so I strongly encourage you guys to really pursue your local state convention and local association leaders mm-hmm. and just share with them your heart. I don't think that second gen emerging leaders feel like, you guys don't need to feel like you're limited to only mm-hmm. getting the blessing of the ethnic immigrant church. Mm-hmm. I think the denomination mm-hmm. has so many resources, but that the best place to begin is with your local association mm-hmm. and to really get to know your local leaders and share with them your passions and desires and let them guide you through that process of figuring out where is the best place for you to be, mm-hmm. given your calling, your gifts, your preparation, and what is deficient that you need to strengthen in order to pastor or to plant mm-hmm. outside of the immigrant church.
So let's say there's a potential church planter among second generations here in North Carolina. So the first accessing point is to go to and find local associations or state convention church planting catalyst to get some ideas and wisdom how mm-hmm. to start.
That's right. That's yeah. right.
And also, this will be my final question, how can they, the second generations in North Carolina, access to the national second generation fellowship?
Yeah, certainly, that's a good question. So, you know, to put my money where my mouth is, you know, I think one of the things that I certainly have to make available is that, you know, feel free to contact guys like me mm-hmm. And others like, you know, Alvin Komodo, mm-hmm. you know, who I think is going to be the next president of the Second Gen Asian American Fellowship, mm-hmm. and guys like Juan Kwok. You know, Juan was up on stage with J.D. Greer mm-hmm. at the Dallas convention back in June, mm-hmm. and I think he's going to be one of the leaders that's going to be closely associated and that, you know, J.D. is going to consult with in terms of reaching mm-hmm. Second Gen leaders. Mm-hmm. Juan is a great guy. He pastors in Fort Lee area mm-hmm. of New Jersey. But, you know, you can always feel free to reach out to someone like me. Mm-hmm. And we hopefully will be able to create an online resource mm-hmm. that not only kind of offers like certain books that we're reading, things that we're listening to, conversations that we're having. And hopefully we do these more, right? Whether it's at a conference like Together for the Gospel, or whether it's at the national convention, mm-hmm. or even maybe at some of these individual, you know, Chinese or the Vietnamese or the Hmong, when they have their own ethnic conferences. You know, I think this ought to be an integral part of the congregation. Right. It's rather than something to be feared, mm-hmm. it should be something that is welcomed. Mm-hmm. And I think that would really inspire the next generation of leaders and planters. Right. But, you know, certainly being able to reach out to me, and even if I can't resource you, there are probably a number of people that I can direct you to mm-hmm. for support and for encouragement and for guidance. And so always feel free to reach out to me. Awesome. You want me to?
Yes.
You can reach me at, you know, thomas@pointcommunitychurch.org. So that's my email address. And always feel free to just shoot me an email, and I'd be welcome. I would welcome having a conversation with you. thomas@pointcommunitychurch.org.
That's great. Awesome. Well, thank you, Thomas, for sharing your personal stories and ministries and even future visions for Asian American second generation. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, my pleasure.
I hope your time in Southeastern Seminary would be pleasing and be good.
Thank you so much, Sammy.
Well, thank you, listeners, for listening to this podcast, and I will see you in the next episode.